Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Zayin. We are holding on the top of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. We are at Mikan, the second line of the page on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and his wife and children. And the Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha, Shalom, the Neshama, should have an Aliyah. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi. So first thing we're going to discuss is we're going to continue the conversation about how, that we had from yesterday about how you see, when you see a Talmud Chacham, a Tzaddik, doing something, that must be a raya that it's mutter, and even if it seems that something is off, you have to research the topic a little bit more to see how really it might be mutter. So the Gemara is going to expand on that idea. The Gemara is going to then discuss, well, wait a second, we determined from the fact that Reb Meir ate a certain vegetable in Beis Shan without taking maisros from it, that Beis Shan must not be in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, isn't there an alternative explanation of why Reb Meir ate a snack, a little bit from a vegetable in Beis Shan, after all, in Achilas Harai is maybe not Chayv Maisos if it did not yet have the status of Tevel, and there could be several explanations of how he already, in fact, did take Maisros. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, we keep on mentioning that if Behemten Shal Tzadikim, Mein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takal Al Yadam, Tzadikim Atzman L'Kol Shkein, where do we find this idea that Behemten Shal Tzadikim, Mein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takal Al Yadam, where did that come from? So the Gemara is going to tell us the story that occurred of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Ya'ir and the Chamor of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Ya'ir that was the basis for this concept that Behemtim Shal Tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not maybe Takala Al Yadam. Then the Gemara is going to tell us a story about how Rebbe wanted Rabbi Pinchas Ben Ya'ir to stay by him. Rabbi Pinchas Ben Ya'ir initially agreed, but he saw something that Rebbe had done that he did not like, something about a particular type of animal that Rebbe had that he thought was very dangerous, and there was no excuse to have this kind of animal. The Gemara is then going to expand a little bit on this kind of animal and what's so terrible about this kind of animal. And the Gemara is going to then conclude the daf with a number of statements of Rabbi Chanina, that Rabbi Chanina is going to highlight to us the idea of Ein Od Milvado. Rabbi Chanina is going to tell us about the Hashkacha, that anything that a person does down here is certainly determined up in Shemayim. A number of statements of Rabbi Chanina. So let's begin again. We are on Zayin Amud Aleph. We are two lines into the page. Mikan. So from the fact that we see that Rabbi was Mekabel, Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeruz Zedus, and he learned from it a halacha, even though it was something that seemed so odd, because it was something that people were never knowing Yisr about. So Mikan, the Talmud Chacham, Shamar Dvar Halacha, Shein Mezichin also. We see from here that if Talmud Chacham says the Dvar Halacha, you shouldn't separate yourself. You shouldn't separate him from that which you know to be, or that which you previously thought you knew otherwise. So the Marsha quotes from a Tshuva Semech Tzedek, that if you're Medayik in the Lashon of the Gemara, Mikan L'Talmud Chacham, that the Ne'amadus is Dafka for a Talmud Chacham. It sounds like a Stam person, you're not Somech when he says that this was the Minag. Whereas there are those that say that it's Dafka by an Edus on a Hanhaga of one chacham who did this once, like the Maisa of Rabbi Meir. But to be made on a minag that all the Bnei HaMakom do it, then anybody would be believed. You wouldn't need a Talmud Chacham to have been the one to do it. So it's either one Talmud Chacham or many other people. So if you see that's the practice that was practiced by a Talmud Chacham, or perhaps practiced by an entire community, Ein Mezichin Oso. V'Armila, and some have a different Lashon, not Ein Mezichin Oso, but Ein Maznichin. Also, that we are not disgusted by, we do not reject that which he says. Va'amrilan, some say a slightly different lashon, ein mazchichin also. We do not allow our own pride, our own gaiva, to get in the way of being able to be receptive to what this Talmud Chacham is telling us, what this Talmud Chacham is teaching us through his behavior. Where do each of these lashonos come from? So mandi amr mazchichin kiduchsev v'lo yizach hachoshen. If you use Lashon of Mezichin, It's based on the pasuk that the choshen does not separate from the ephod. So over here also, we're saying that we are not mafresh him from his shmua to say that that which he has a tradition on is not correct. If the lashon is ein maznichin, d'chsev ki lo yiznach li olam Hashem, that Hashem is not going to be disgusted by his nation. So over here also, we are not disgusted by the tradition of this Talmud Chacham. And the one that says that it's ain't maschichin detran, the Mishnah says in Maseches Sota, Misha Rabu zechuche halev Rabu machlokas be Yisrael. When there were too many zechuche halev, when there were too many people that were arrogant, that weren't careful to receive the traditions from the Rebbeim in a very precise way, and therefore they were somech on their own understanding of things, that's where a lot of mistakes came in, and when a lot of mistakes crept in, that's where a lot of machlokas crept in. So over here also, don't allow your gaiva to cause you not to be medayik as much as you can be in that which you've heard. So the Gemara goes back to discuss that which Rebbe proved from the fact that Rebbe Meir ate a certain leaf of a vegetable in Beis Shan, so without taking maisos from it. So he said, oh, it must be that Beis Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael. So says Gemara, wait a second, there may be other explanations why he ate that vegetable, not just because Beis Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael. Maskif lo Yehuda bereid Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, umi ikol leman diyamer Beis Shan lav me Eretz Yisraeli. Is there anyone that holds that Beis Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael? Vahaksiv, doesn't the pasuk say in Sefer Shoftim when it describes how the Shvatim were Yoresh Eretz Yisrael, v'lo horish minasha es Beis Shan vespenoseha, ves tanach vespenoseha, that the tribe of Manasseh didn't kill the Canaanim that lived in these places. They left them there to collect taxes from them and live amongst them. So we see apparently Beis Shan is part of Eretz Yisrael, because we're describing how they handled this area that they conquered when they went into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no, Ishtamitte hada amar Rabbi Shimon Eliyakim Mishum Rabbi Lozer ben Pedas, that Yehuda b'rei Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi forgot the Memra of Rabbi Shimon Eliyakim Mishum Rabbi Lozer ben Pedas, who said in the name of Rabbi Lozer ben Shmua, Harbei Krachim Kavshim Olei Mitzrayim, there were many places, many cities that in the days of Yeshua were conquered by Klal Yisrael, and where they were Makadesh with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Velo Kavashim Olei Bavel. But in the second Aliyah, in the days of Ezra, when we went back into Eretz Yisrael, the Olei Bavel did not conquer those areas. And the reason is, V'kasavar, the reason they were not Makadish them is because the Olei Bavel reasoned Kedusha Rishona, Kitcha L'Shaita, Velo Kitcha L'Asadavo, that the Kedusha Rishona that Yeshua was Makadish Eretz Yisrael with the first Kibush of Eretz Yisrael was only going to last as long as that Kibush lasted. But after they go into Golus in the days of Yevuchadnezzar, the Kedusha that was achieved through that Kibush is no longer going to be in effect. V'inichum, and the Olei Bavel did not conquer those areas to be Makadish them a second time around, because they didn't want them to have Kedusha Sa'aretz, because they wanted the freedom to be able to plow and to plant during the Shemitah year, because Shemitah only is Noeg in Eretz Yisrael, it's not Noeg in Chutz La'aretz. According to Rashi, these places didn't have a din of Shemitah at all, and they were allowed to do whatever Avodas HaKarka they wanted to do. Charisha and Zriya, this is Daf Yomi coincidence, this week's Parsha, of course, is Shemitah Parsha Pahar, so they wanted to do whatever planting and plowing. According to the Rambam, it's only Achilas HaSvichim that becomes mutter in these areas during Shemitah when they didn't have a Kibush Sheni. But still, there's something. There's something that became mutter by leaving these unconsecrated. Kedesh Yismuch Alein Aniyim B'Shvias, because they wanted the Aniyim to be able to depend on these areas during Shemitah, that they could take the Leket Shicha and the Peah, they could take the Maiserani. The Aniyim needed somewhere to take from. So even though we're knowing Chumas and Maisos in these areas, Midrabanan, just like we're knowing in Chutz La'aretz, that's only by Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzar, that in a place that's what the Rosh Yosef points out, that in a place that you're Chayiv Minat Torah, in Chutzlar, those things that are chayiv min haTorah in Eretz Yisrael are chayiv midrabanan Chutzlaretz. But Rabbi Meir ate an ala shel yerek, which even in Eretz Yisrael there's only a chayiv midrabanan, and therefore in Chutzlaretz is not even going to be chayiv midrabanan. So Beis Shan was among one of these places that they were not mekadesh b'yemei Ezra. So even though the pasuk says it was neskan shel kedusha rishona, it didn't have kedusha shniya at the time of the Olei Bavel, and that's why Reb Meir was willing to eat something that he didn't take maestros from, not because it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. He holds that because it is not part of Eretz Yisrael, meaning that's where Reb Meir holds that you don't have to take maestros from it like any other area of Chutz La'aretz. So again, the Gemara wanted to say, how can you tell me that the fact that Reb Meir ate something is a raya that Beis Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael? How can anyone say it's not part of Eretz Yisrael? It's a pasuk that it's part of Eretz Yisrael. It's in Sefer Shoftim that it's part of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara's answer is the fact that the pasuk tells me it was part of Eretz Yisrael does not tell me that it is part of Eretz Yisrael. It was in Kibush Rishon, but it isn't after Kibush Sheni. Amar le Rabbi Yirmi le Rabbi Zeira v'Rabbi Meir, Allah bi'alma huda achil. But still, Rabbi Meir ate from Beis Shan just an Allah shal yarek. That's only an achilas arai. An achilas arai is not chayv and maestros anyway. He would have been allowed to do that in Eretz Yisrael. So how can you bring a raya that Beis Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael from the fact that Rabbi Meir ate this vegetable? He's allowed to do that in Eretz Yisrael. It was never chayv and maestros. It's just an achilas arai. So Amalei, Rabbi Zeira said back to Rabbi Meir, me aguda achlay. He ate one Allah from an entire aguda of vegetables. So there's an entire bundle. Once it's a bundle, it's chayiv and maestros. So Utnan, the Mishnah Maseches Maestros, tells us in terms of what is koveya, each min, to become chayiv and maestros, that it becomes tevel. So yerek hane'egad, any type of vegetable that is bundled, Mishaye Agaid. As soon as it is bundled, it becomes tevel, it becomes chayv and maestros, and that's when Rav Meir ate from it, and that's why we were able to be medayik, that it must be that he holds that it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. So, frankly, Gemara, but v'dumma lavadayte. Isn't there another explanation of why Rav Meir ate it? Maybe. He's not a malach, he's a human being. He forgot to take the maestros. He did it b'shogeg. Everyone makes mistakes, but it could be that he should have taken maestros from it, and he simply forgot. So the Gemara says, no, that's unthinkable. If even by a behemah of a tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be maybe takala through a behemah of a tzaddik, by a tzaddik himself, for sure not. So there's no way Rav Meir was nichshal in ma'achalos asuras, right? That's what Tosfos points out. This idea of behemtim shel tzaddikim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not maybe takala, the tzaddikim is dafka by ma'achalos asuras, which probably relates to timtum alev, that since it has an impact on a person's neshama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to allow such a thing to happen. So it says Gemara, but there's another explanation of what why Rav Meir didn't take maestros. Vidilma Israel in makom acher. Maybe he did, and it just wasn't obvious. Maybe he took maestros from somewhere else. He has another pile of vegetables somewhere from which he took maestros to cover this vegetable that he's eating right here. So he maybe had a yerek in his house, and he said the yerek zesha besi meiser ala gudazu that I have out here in the field. So it says lo nechshtu chaverim litrom shalom in amukaf. No, because that would also be a violation of the halacha, a lesser violation of the halacha, but still a violation of the halacha that you're not supposed to take trumas and maestros shalom in amukaf. All of the stuff that you're taking trumas and maestros from is supposed to be in proximity to each other. If they're not samuch to one another, then it's not going to, then it's not ideal. Why can you not take shalom and amukov? So Rashi writes, because you have to be choshesh that maybe the pre that you're being somech on is no longer around at the time. Maybe it got lost, maybe it got rotten. So you're not saying anything. I mean, shalom and amukov is, I'm really hungry, I'd like to eat this vegetable. Ooh, but I never took shumas maestros from it. If I recall, I have at home, I have this vegetable. I have some of this, so I'll declare what I have at home as the truma and the maeser, and thereby enable enable myself to eat this vegetable. Are you sure that you have it at home? Meaning it could be that someone already ate it. It could be that it's rotten. It could be. So Tosa Rush wonders about this, because the Gemara in Gittin says you could be mafresh b'cheskas, that something is still around, and you don't have to be choshesh that shemen ne'avad. So Tosa Rush, as well as Tosas in Gittin, say, no, there's no reason. It's a gzeir zakasuv. The pasuk says, Beitrumas Meiser, Varimosa, Mimenu, and the Sifri, and the Yerushalmi Darshan, that Mimenu means Minamukaf. So, okay, so it's Gzeres HaKasuv. You're not going to figure out a svara for why you have to take Minamukaf. So it says, okay, but there's still another possibility. Vildilma Nasan Einav Bitzad Zeh V'achol Bitzad Acher. Maybe Rameir is holding this bundle of vegetables, and he's saying that the vegetable on this side of the bundle is going to be the truma and the meiser on the vegetable that I'm eating right now on the other side of the bundle. So it's all in a mukaf, it's all right here. So Amalei Chazimah Grava Rava Kamasa Lalei. He says, come on, this is something Rabbi Shimon Zeres said, that he saw what Rameir did, and he knows that Rameir thought that Beishan is not part of Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, Rabbi Shimon Zeres is a great person. He knows how to interpret that which he sees. And this is an important point, that Chaziman Gavar Rabba Kamaser Alei, that sometimes you hear edus of a person's hanhagos, of a person's behavior, and it really matters who you're hearing the edus from, right? Meaning if it's a person who's a Gavar Rabba, so you know that he's more equipped to interpret the behavior of the gadol that he's reporting. Where if the person's not a gavur rabba, it could very likely be that he's misinterpreting or misunderstanding what's behind that that behavior. So it's not possible that Rabbi Shua ben Zeres would have not realized that Rameir could have been mafresh from that same eged. It must be that he knew somehow that he wasn't. Okay, so now the Gemara says that let's go into this topic of behemton shel tzadikim in Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe takala Al Yadon. Who said that? Where did that come up? How do we know that that's true? That a behemah of a tzaddik is not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not maybe takala. My behemton shal tzaddikim. What is this story with behemton shal tzaddikim? So Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair have a ka'azil l'pidyon shvuyim. One time Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was going to perform the mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim. Pagabe b'ginoi na'ara. He came to the river Ginoi. So Amalei, Ginoi, chalokli. So he did the natural thing, got to a river, and he said, river, split. So chalokli meimach ve'avarbach, split your water so that I can pass through. Samalei, the river said back to him. Tosos asked the kasha, rivers don't talk, right? So what does that mean? The river said back to him. So the bottom Tosos says, Shema sar shalyam heishivlo, is the angel that's in charge of the sea. Heishivlo kach inami. Rabbi Pinchas ayim mechashiv belibo shalakach haya maniach milachloklo, that it was an imagined conversation as to why it is that Hashem's not making it that the river is splitting for him. And Tos says that's probably the same way you have to interpret the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Dudaya in the beginning of Maseches Avod Zarah, when he says, let the Shemayim be Mevakesh Rachamim. Shemayim doesn't talk, so let the Harim be Mevakesh Rachamim. They don't talk. So he's saying that either the Sar should be Mevakesh Rachamim for him, or he's imagining in the zuchus of the Shemaim or whatever that he would be zocha terachimim. So anyway, the Nahar says to him, the river says to him, Ata holich lasos ritzon koncha, you're going to do a great mitzvah pidyon shvuyim, vani holich lasos ritzon koni, and I continue to do what my shlichus is in this world, which is to flow and to act like a regular river. Ata safik osa safik yata osa. As far as I can tell, says the river, in the history of our lives, sometimes you do the right things and sometimes you don't do the right things. Sometimes you're not successful, you're not able to be mekayim mitzvos boro, and sometimes you are able to be mekayim mitzvos boro. Ani vada, I've never failed. I always fulfill the ratzon of Hashem. He told me to act like a river. I've been acting like a river since Sheish Shmei Bereishis. So Amalei, so Pilchus Ben Yair said to the river, and therefore the river was saying, and I shouldn't be kafuf to you. I shouldn't change my behavior because of you. So Amalei, Pilchus Ben Yair said, if you're not chalik, I'm going to be gozer that your water should all dry up. So even though the taina of the river river, apparently the Marsha points out, was a good taina, he said, my suffik is better than your vadai, because when I do mitzvahs, it's mitoch bechira. When a river does what it's supposed to do, it's hechrich. So hechrich is not praiseworthy. But someone who does something mitoch bechira, so that's a much, much greater maila. So he says, and I'll prove to you that that's true, because if I'm going to be gozer that no water would ever come to you, you're not going to be able to do it. Meaning, if I make such a gezera that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, tzad gozer, a Kodesh Baruch Hu mekayim, you're not going to have an option not to listen. Meaning, just like you didn't have an option not to listen to flow, you're not going to have an option not to listen not to flow. Once that's, but I have an option. I have bechiru chavshus. So chalaklei. So the river split for him. It took the argument by Kriyas Yamsuf. It said Vayit Moshe Yado Al Yam Vayeshav Yam Lifnos Boker Leisano. So Chazal Darshan Leisano the Tanao Shehisna Kodesh Baruch Hu when he created the Yam, that it's going to be that it's going to split at that time. So the Archaim Hakadosh says, well, what is this Tanai? If on Kriyas Yamsuf, why didn't the Yam want to split if there was a Tanai there already? I mean, the Medrash says that by Kriyas Yamsuf also that made a taina against Moshe Rabbeinu and said Ein ani nikra lefanecha because I was created on Yom Shlishi and you were created on Yom Shishi until Hashem spread out His right hand over Moshe Rabbeinu's right hand Moluch Limin Moshe Zroa Tifarto and also the Maaseh by Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, we see that the Yam has to split for Yechidei Skula. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not make a Tanai with the Yam to split for anybody but the Yotzei Mitzrayim, then why was Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair able to cause the Yam to split? If you need a Tanai, Misheshes Yimei Bereshes. So the Archaim HaKadosh says that this Tanai is included in the Tanai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, a Maisa Bereshes, that it will be kafuf to the Torah and the Amalei Torah, to do what that all of Maisa Bereshes is kafuf to those who are Amal B'Torah. That was the Tanai. So at first the Yam said, I don't know if you have the credentials, Moshe Rabbeinu, that I should split for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu vouched for him, and then the Yam had no choice. Then the Yam had to split because that was part of the Tanai in Maaseh Bereishis. But it wasn't only Moshe Rabbeinu. It was anyone who was an Amal B'Torah of a certain Madrega that the Yam has to split for. So Chalak Leis, so the Yam split for him. Hava hu gavad avadari chiti lepischa, along with Reb Pinchas Ben Yair, there was another guy that was carrying wheat in order to be able to use it for matzah for Pesach. So Amal Leis, Reb Pinchas Ben Yair said to the river, Chalak Leis nami lahayde b'mitzvah asuk. You better split for this guy also because he's being osik in the mitzvah. The Torah says, Ushmartim es ha-matzos, that from the very beginning of the grinding and the sifting of the flour for the matzah, you need to be shomer lechitim l'shem matzah. So he's doing a mitzvah. These are so chalakle. So the yam split for him as well. There was a certain Arab merchant that happened to have been traveling. He was a traveling companion of theirs. Some later, Pinchas Ben Yair said, chalakle nami lahai, split for this guy too. We don't want people to say this is how they treat people who accompany them on the road. That they take advantage of these miracles and the people that accompany them are stuck on the other side. Chalaklei! So the Yam split a third time for this person as well. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, wow. Kama nafesh gavra mi Moshe v'shitin Rabban. How much greater is Rav Pinchas Ben Yair than even Moshe Rabbeinu and all Shishim Ribo of Klal Yisrael? Dihilu hasam chad zimna. Because for Moshe Rabbeinu and all Shishim Ribo of Klal Yisrael, the Yam only split once. V'hachat chasa zimnin. Whereas over here, it split three times. It split for Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, it's split for the guy with the matzah, and it's split for the Arab merchant. How do you know it's split three times over here? Maybe over here also. It only split once, and Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair telling the Yam to split for the other two guys was just telling it not to not split, not to reverse its having split. Ella Kimosha Vishitin Rabban. So no, not that he's greater than Moshe Rabbeinu and the Shishim Ribo, but he's as great as Moshe Rabbeinu and the Shishim Ribo. So the Gemara goes back to the story over here. So now Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair got to the other side of the river. He was going on his way to do the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim. Iklo lahu ushpiza. He got to a certain lodging place. Ramale Sa'ari Lechamre. And the people were putting barley on the in giving it to his chamar. They were offering animal food to his donkey. Lo achal, and the donkey did not want to eat. So they said, "Ooh, this donkey is a picky, finicky donkey. It must be that the food's not good enough." So chaftinu, they sifted the food a little, the sa'orim a little bit more. So maybe now the chamar will be willing to eat from it. Lo achal, he still did not eat from it. Nakrinu. So then they started pulling out whatever pebbles and dirt and by hand. They started pulling out whatever impurities there were in the sa'orim. Lo achal, the donkey still did not eat from it. When Pinchas ben Yair sees what's going on, so Amr Lahu Dilma Lo Ma'asrin, he says, maybe you didn't take maestros from the sa'orim, and maybe that's why my donkey is refusing to eat. So Asrinu Va'achal, so they tried that, and then the donkey all of a sudden ate. So Amr Pinchas ben Yair said to the Baal Achzanya, Aniyazo Halecha Sasos Rutzon Kona, Va'atem Achilino Sa Tevalim, that this donkey is going to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're willing to feed it Tevel. So you see that even Behemdom Shel Satik HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not maybe Takala Al Yadam, and therefore in a Shemaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that the animal would not eat it, so that the Bailim wouldn't be Nichshal in the Isra of being Machil Behema Demai without taking Maisros from it. Meaning it's not that the animal wouldn't eat non-kosher. The animal doesn't have any mitzvah not to eat non-kosher. It's that the owner is not allowed to feed Demai to his animal. So when you feed Demai to an animal, you're in violation of Demai. And that would mean that the Behema of the Tzaddik is causing the guy who's feeding the Tzaddik's animal to violate a halacha. And a Behema of a Tzaddik is never going to cause anyone to violate a halacha. So certainly the Tzaddik himself is never going to eat machalas asuros. So the Gemara discusses, is it really asur to feed Demai to an animal? Umi mechaiva? Is it true that you have to be mafresh maisos from grain that you bought from an Am Haaretz in order to feed it to an animal? Va'atanan, doesn't the Mishnah say in the first parakah of Meseches Demai, halokeach lezera, if you buy grain from an Am Haaretz to plant or lebehema, or you buy it to feed to an animal, the kemach la'oros, or you buy flour to treat hides, v'shemen l'ner, or you buy oil for illumination, v'shemen losuch ba'os hakelim, or you buy oil in order to shmir onto kelim, pater mea demai, so it's going to be pater from demai. So you see that only tevel vada is chayv in maestros when purchased for these purposes, but demai were mekel. So how come these people are? How come the donkey didn't want to eat? So says Mar Hasam ha'itmar Allah. No, we said about that Mishnah that Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo shanu ella shalakachan mitchila lebehema. That it's true when you buy produce for the sake of feeding it to a behema and it's demai, so that's perfectly fine. But avalakachan mitchila la'adam v'nimlach aleim lebehema. But if you buy the food with the intention of having it be eaten by human beings, and then you change your mind and you decide instead to give it to a behema, chayiv la'aser, then you need to take maisros, because you became chayiv in the maisros at the very moment that you took it, at the very moment that you purchased it. So the chiyuv doesn't go away. V'atanya, we have this benichusa, we have a brisa that alokeach perus minashuk la'achila v'nimlach aleim lebehema, that if you initially buy it to eat yourself and then you change your mind and you give it to a behema, then you're not allowed to give it to your own behemo or behemus chavero, unless you took maestros from it. So the Gemara now tells us what happened with Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair going to Pidyon Shvuyim. So while he was going, Shomer Rabbi heard that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was passing through town. So Nafak La'ape, so Tzadik is Bali Ir, he came to go greet him. Somerlei, so he asked him, would you like to come over to my house and eat something? Somerlo Hain, he said, I'd be delighted to, that I would like to eat with him. Nevertheless, we're going to see that his saying yes means that you ask me if I would like to, if my ratzon is to, but if my ratzon may be, but I'm busy right now, so I can't. So Tzavu Panav Shal Rebbe. Rebbe got very excited because Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was not known to eat at other people's houses, so it was a chashivos that he was willing to eat at Rebbe's house. So Amalos, so Rabbi Pinchas said, "Kemeduma ata shemudra anami Yisrael ani." Do you hold that do you think that I have a neder ana that I don't get benefit from Yisrael? That's why you're so excited that I'm willing to come to eat at your house. Yisrael kedoshim. pain. I would, every day of the week, I'd be thrilled to get hana'ah from Yisrael. The Jewish people are kadoshim. It's just that, yesh rotzah v'ein lo, some people, b'lev shalem, would really like to share of their food, but they don't have anything. And I don't want to get hana'ah from someone's, I don't want to take food out of people's children's mouths, when I go to their homes to eat. And v'yesh yesh lo v'ein rotzah. And there are people that have plenty to offer, but they don't really want to share b'lev shalem. So they'll say it because they're embarrassed, because it's etiquette to offer to give me something. But I know really deep down they don't want to do something. Tosa says, and they're still called kedoshim, right? That even having that sense of etiquette, even having that sense of derech eretz, that's also called kedoshim, even though that deep down they're not interested in sharing, which is remarkable. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, because you have these two groups of people that either want to share but are unable to, or are able to but don't want to, al tilchem eslechem ra'ayin va'al tisav l'matamosav ki kamo shar b'nafsho kenu echol v'shtei yomelach v'libo balimach, that don't take from people who are not going to be excited to be able to give to you, because their hearts aren't really into it. Va'ata rotza v'yesh l'cha, he says, you're Rebbe, I know that you're a sincere person, you really want to give me, and I also know you're a rich person and you have plenty to give, so that's why I agreed to accept your invitation. Mia, but the punchline is hashtem esrohivna de milsim mitzvah katerichna. So even though I said I'd be delighted to doesn't mean that yes, I'm coming. It means that not now, because I'm busy with pidyon shvuyim ki adarna. But when I come back after I fulfill the mitzvah, asina I'll know legabach. Then I'll stop by and I'll eat by your house on my way back. So kiyasa when Pinchas ben Yair came back after having performed the mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim, Isrami, he came to Rebbe's house, and he happened to go to the doorway of Rebbe's house where there were white mules there. So Amar, he said, Malach HaMaves bebeiso shelzeh, the Malach HaMaves is in this person's house. And I'm gonna eat a suda by him? Absolutely not. I have no interest in eating this suda with these dangerous animals. So Shama Rebbe heard that he was refusing to come in. Nafak Lape, he came to try to convince him that everything's okay and that he should come in. So Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair said, I'm not coming in because of these dangerous animals. Rabbi said, I'll sell them. Just come to my house. They'll be gone. So Rabbi Pinchas said, you're going to sell them? It's also for anyone to be megadol such a behema that's dangerous and it's going to cause damage. You can't even sell them to a guy because you're not allowed to be mocher behema gasa to a guy. And you certainly can't sell them to Yisrael because it's going to be lefneiver that the Yisrael is going to be in violation. So he says, okay, mefarikna. I'll be mefkarnaluhu, rather. I'll be mafkir them, and I'll just send them back out into the wild. He said, mafshat hazeka. You do that, and they're more likely to damage. At least now you're keeping an eye on them. So you lock them up, so they're less likely to damage. You're just going to be mafkir them, then they'll run wild. So he said, akarnaluhu. He said, I'll cut off their legs, because these mules damage by kicking. So I'll take away their capacity to kick. He says, ikatzar belichayim. How could you do such a thing? It's tzar belichayim to do that. The Truma Sedesh and Paskins and Chelik Beisim Kofei, that there's no sort of Tzar Bali Chaim whenever there's a Tzorach HaAdam. So Lechora, why is this a Tzar Bali Chaim? After all, it's a Tzorach that it's not going to damage people. So the Pri Yitzchak writes that al pidin, it's mutter to be machzik these types of animals in your house, the rechiva, the malacha, because they're not muad to be mazik. It's just Rabbi Pinchas is makbar on Rabbi because of your level of chasidus, your level of greatness, that it's rotly for you not to have something that could even cause a type of wound that is not easily healed, and therefore it would be baltashchis to kill them and sar balechayim to be ochre them, because minadin, you're allowed to keep them because it's not dark on the hazik, and therefore it's not really a tzorech ha'adam. It's not considered a real tzorech because a regular person doesn't need to do this. A regular person is allowed to keep these animals. So he says, katilnu luhu, I'll kill them. So he says, ikabal tashchis, you're wasting a perfectly good animal if you kill it. So you can't do that either. Meaning, what he was essentially telling him is that sometimes you made a mistake that you can't fix. Meaning, you put yourself in a situation that you never should have put yourself into. A lot of times, Rabbi will get a call. Rabbi, what do I do now? What do you do now? You should have called me a week ago before you made the series of decisions that put you into the situation where now there's no good Eitzah left. So the person has to have a little bit of forethought. So I have a Mevatish Beituva. So Rebbe was begging that Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair should come. Gavaturu Benayu. And a mountain all of a sudden grew in between them. So Rebbe saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just made a miracle, that a mountain grew in between them so that Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair couldn't even get there. So Bacha Rebbe V'yamar, Rebbe cried out and he said, Ma b'chayein kach, if tzaddikim are so beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he does whatever they want, that since it wasn't up to the standards of Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair to come to my house, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that there was a mountain that grew. So b'misasan lachas kama v'kama, in their death, all the more so, that they're even greater b'misasan than they are b'chayeihem. Dam Rebbe Chaim Bar Chanina, gadol tzaddikim b'misasan, yoser mi'b'chayein. Tzaddikim are even greater in their misa than they are in their lives. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, when they buried the Navi Sheker and Sefer Melachim Peis, v'yeyem kovrim ish, v'nei ro'u es ha'gadud, v'yishlichu es ish b'kever Elisha, and they threw him into the kever Elisha, v'yelech v'yigay ish b'atzmos Elisha, v'yechi v'yokom al raglov. The body touched Elisha's body, and he came back to life, and got up on his feet. So you see, since he was a Rasha, and he didn't belong next to a tzaddik, so the Navi Elisha was mechayehim, because he was buried there, he didn't want him to be buried next to him. Whereas during Elisha's lifetime, when he wanted to be mechayeh the Ben Ashunamis, he had to do a whole procedure, piv al piv, eino valenov, he had to be mevakish rachamim. It wasn't just, you know, snap and, we were just touch the tzaddik and then you come back to life. It was a whole thing that had to be done. So you see, b'misaso, Elisha had a greater capacity for tchiyas ha-mesim than he did b'chayev. So I'm like, Rav Papa said to Abai, how do you know that it was just by touching him that he was mechayim, because tzaddikim are greater in their misa? Maybe it wasn't in Elisha's chus that he came back to life. It was because Elio blessed Elisha. And they can't be that the bracha of the tzaddik is not going to be mekuyim. And if Elio Anavi did the tchiyas ha-mesim once and he blessed Elisha with pishnayim, it has to happen a second time, and he's dead now. So how's it going to happen? So it's going to happen with just touching, but not because Elisha is any greater. So Amalei, Ihachi, if that were the case, that it was only about the pishnayim, Hainu Detanya, Al raglavama lul beisalo halach. Then how come this tchiyas ha-mesim didn't last very long? The guy didn't make it back home. So it wasn't because of the bracha of Eliyahu. It was because of Elisha's zechus, and Elisha apparently had this greater zechus in his death. So ela b'ma'ikayim. So when then did the pishnayim bracha become mekuyim? If it wasn't here, if it wasn't at this story with the navi sheker. So says Mark, Dam Rabbi Yochanan sheripet tzara'as naman. That he was merape Naaman mitzarato. So you see from the fact that he was and a mitzora is one of the people that's nechshav kemes. So therefore, that's considered to be a tchias amesim that he had performed. So I'm Reb Shimon Levi. Laman nikra shaman yamim. Why are the prey de levana? So once we mentioned the hakpada of Pinchas Ben Yair, because it's going to damage. So the Gemara says, why are these prey dels called in the Torah Yamim? It says Hu ana asher matza es hayamim bamidbar. So that it means this type of animal. Sheimasu mutelus al abrios. It's because they people are fearful of them. Damar Rabbi Chanina miyamei lo shalni adam amakas preidu levana v'chaya. I've never had anyone ask me about what to do about a wound from such an animal, and he survived the damage from that wound. Says Mar v'kachasin d'chay. People recover from it all the time. What do you mean they don't survive? We see that they do. Eimu v'chayas. No, not that they don't survive, but that the wound never fully heals. But we see that it does heal. He says, no, you're thinking of a different type of mule. I'm talking about a mule that has the white tips of its hooves. That's where the wound will not heal. So a particular type of mule damages so strongly that the wound will not heal. Once we're talking about things that Rabbi Chanina said, ein old milvado, the pasuk says, am Rabbi Chanina v'afilu kshafim, that even a person who's otherwise subject to kishuf is not going to be damaged by kishuf if he has a kodesh baruch hu on the side, if there's no gzerim in hashemayim that he should be harmed by it. There was a woman trying to take dirt from underneath Rabbi Chanina's feet. She wanted to do kishuf on him. He said, go take all you want. It's not going to help. Ein od milvado ksiv. Nothing happens without Hashem wanting it to happen. But Poison Kishuv, doesn't it mean that it's a Machish Pamalia Shamaila, that it goes against the Gzera Mirashmaim? Shiny Rabbi Chanina didn't fish Zuchuse. Rabbi Chanina is different because he had enough Zuchuyos that he was allowed to rely that the Kishuv would have no impact. Viam Rabbi Chanina, in Adam Nokev, it's Bo Milamata, Elim Kain, Machrizna Lav Milamaila. Person does not so much as wag his finger down here, unless it was, or stub his finger down, or stub his toe down here, unless it's Machrizna Lav Milamaila, unless there's a Achrazim and a Shamaim, that this was supposed to happen. So Hashem is gozer that on even on the footsteps of a person. So sometimes you stub your toe, and that's something that was a gzeira min hashemayim. Amar Rabbi Elazar, dam nikuf meratze kedam ola. If you bleed a little bit from stubbing your toe, that has a capacity to give kapara, like the dam of Carmenola. Amarava begudel yamin, that it's only if it's the right big toe, ubinik of sheni. And the second time you stub it on the same place before the first one has healed, because that's particularly painful. V'udekazel dvar mitzvah. And it's only if you happen to be going for a dvar mitzvah. So if you have all of those conditions, you go for a dvar mitzvah, you stub your toe twice, and the second one was before the first one heals, then you should know you just got a kapara that's better than the Carmenola. So amarava, or like the Carmenola. Amrulav of Pilchus Ben Yair, Miyamav Lobatsa Al Prusa Sheina Shalor. Pilchus Ben Yair, one of his habits was that he never broke bread on bread that did not belong to him. He never wanted to eat a kazayis from other people's bread. Umiyom Shomer Al Daito Lonena Misudas Aviv. And from the time that he came to a sense of das, when he became gadol, he never got hana'a from his father's suda. So that's referring back to that story with Rebbe and why Rebbe was under the assumption that he had some sort of neder hana'a not to get any benefit from Yisraelim. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll pick up at the very top of Dav Ches Amud Aleph. Everyone have a great day.